Happy Tuesday, everybody. Welcome to day three of our Resurrection Week daily devotionals.
Amen.
We're excited to dive into 1 Corinthians 15 today, mm-hmm. verses 1 through 19.
Now, I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. Now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised.
That's a bit confusing.
Continue. Excuse me.
Yeah.
Verse 16. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. That's the word of the Lord.
Praise be to God.
Wow.
He gets into it.
Yeah, he's not messing around on this whole resurrection bit.
No. And he will continue tomorrow, where he continues to talk about mm-hmm. this is why Christ has been raised.
Exactly. Yeah, we're going to read the remainder of this chapter in 1 Corinthians over the next 2 days, but
so don't go ahead.
Yeah, don't read ahead.
Don't read too much scripture.
Wait till tomorrow. But right here, people have stopped believing somewhere along the line in Corinth that Jesus was actually raised from the dead and that resurrection is really going to happen. What is Paul's response?
It's all futile if he didn't. It's in vain.
Like, literally, guys, what are we doing?
Yeah.
If resurrection isn't at the center of this.
It's so, so wild.
Like, open your eyes, team. That's kind of the tone that I hear him speaking in.
Totally.
He's like, dudes, honestly, dudes and lady dudes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let's be honest here. Resurrection is the center of all of this. And like a bodily resurrection.
Yes. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Not just like metaphorically. I don't know.
Yeah.
How that would have been.
Which there are people in America today who call themselves Christians who would say that Jesus's resurrection is a metaphor and that the resurrection in general is a metaphor.
Yeah.
And I'd ask those people to read 1 Corinthians 15. It seems pretty clear to me that if Jesus didn't actually die and then actually raise into some new kind of life, then what is our Christian hope? This is central. honestly, that's a pretty simple message.
Yeah.
My guess is for most of our listeners, that's not a hard pill to swallow. That's very much like, yep, that's it.
I think it is amazing how, I don't know. I wish, like, I'm praying right now that, like, my jaw is just on the floor the rest of this week.
Hmm.
Because for some reason we read Christ raised from the dead and we're like, yes, wonderful. You know?
Nice.
And it's not like, what? You know, like, I've grown up in the church. It's like, yeah, this is what happens. Like, the story's spoiled when I start every gospel. I know what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And it's great. But it's like, no, he was dead. And now he is so alive, super alive. And that's not the normal order of things.
Right.
And I just want to be in awe of that all week long.
Wow.
And continuing from this week. I'm hoping this week shapes me into just that attitude when I think about the resurrection.
Wow.
Just gobsmacked.
Great word. Because this reality changed the way that every person in the first generation of the church lived by an incredible margin.
Yeah, we don't think about all of these people were practicing Jews.
Right.
And they changed everything about their lives,
mm-hmm,
because of what happened here. And they died because of what happened here.
Right.
Like, this is so wild, so crazy, and so true. Wow. Just to say that, you know?
So true.
It's like everything changed because of this.
Mm.
The way we date things could change because of this.
The year of our Lord.
Yeah.
2024. Mm-hmm. How will life change because of this for me?
Great question.
Yeah. May I handle that question with some really serious fear and trembling and unspeakable joy.
And unspeakable joy, like we talked about. It's so good.
Yep. So I don't want to be most to be pitied on earth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no. Mm-hmm. I don't want everything that I'm doing to be futile.
Right. In vain. He really repeats himself a lot here.
Yeah, I kind of got lost a little bit, but I get his point.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's just the way of things in his literature. The more you repeat it, the more emphatic it is.
Mm-hmm.
This is extremely emphatic.
And like flips it and does the inverse and backwards. Uh-huh. And obviously, no matter way you put it, Christ raised from the dead.
And so will we when we're hidden in him.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Wow. Amen.
Wow. Well, may your day look completely different because that reality shapes everything that you say and do.
I love that. That's so good. We love you. See you tomorrow.
Bye.
Bye. That was great. You like that?
That was good.
I like that. Oh, yeah. We're just reading it in the same chapter.
Oh, yeah, too. Hilarious. 20 to 28.
Are you still doing good? Pardon me for just stuttering all over
that last one.
No, it was... Don't worry about it. It's hard to read.
Reading is hard.
Reading is hard.
I'm going to zoom into it a little bit, and that should help me. Skirt? Okay, cool. 20 through 28, right?
Yes.
Okay. Ooh. Same thing?
Same thing.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Welcome to Wednesday on the Deep Waters Podcast. This is Resurrection Week. Day 4. We are continuing our reading in 1 Corinthians 15, starting in verse 20.
But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. But each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, then at his coming those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father after destroying every rule and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. For God has put all things in subjection under his feet. But when it says, all things are put in subjection, it is plain that he is accepted, that, well, here I stutter again. It is plain that he is accepted who put all things in subjection. Shoot.
You're doing better than I would.
Thank you. I'm just going to start that verse over. 27. For God has put all things in subjection under his feet. But when it says all things are put in subjection, it is plain that he is accepted who put all things in subjection under him. When all things are subjected to him, then the Son himself will also be subjected to him who put all things in subjection under him, that God may be all in all.
That's the word of the Lord.
Praise be to God. Those last two verses got me.
Yeah, I don't even quite know what he's saying in those last two verses. But should we start from the top?
Yeah, let's do that.
How we just avoid what we don't understand? Just kidding.
That's good. If you understand that, please leave some comments down below.
Come on.
Okay. What do you get from the first?
Christ has been raised from the dead, and he is just the foretaste of what is to come for all of us.
Yeah.
Paul uses first fruits, but he says the first fruit of those who have fallen asleep, like all of us. Is that right?
Yeah, I think, yeah, like those who have fallen asleep are those who are dead will die. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking first fruits, in case you don't know what that means, I'm sure most people do maybe, but like if you're farming, mm-hmm. you would bring your first fruits as a sacrifice to God. It's the like very beginning of your crop, mm-hmm. and it's a great part of the crop. You know, think you're really hungry. Your food storage from the previous year is all gone.
Yeah.
And the first fruits are the most valuable. You know, it's just the very beginning, wow. but there's so much yet to come.
That's so good. Mm. Wow, I love that picture. I don't think I've ever pictured that out fully. You know,
it's nice.
It all is so analogous to what all that is. Like the world waiting in desperation for a savior, like through the winter time, and the first fruits come and he is the sacrifice.
Yeah.
And there's more to come after that.
Amen.
Come on. That's really good.
Amen.
Come on, Paul.
Come on, Paul.
That's great.
Using some of those like agrarian sacrificial metaphors on us, which is just awesome. And of course, this is rooted in the story of the Old Testament. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. So this is like a story rooted in scripture, and I can't help but think about those words, all be made alive.
So good.
Like there's incredible hope right there. And anyway, those, I assume what that means is those who will be made alive, all of them were made alive by Christ, mm-hmm. which is another way of saying there's only one way to the Father, and it's through him, the way, the truth, and the life.
Wow, that's good.
That's the way I'm reading it.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, totally.
Sweet. This is just real life Bible study here. Yeah,
for sure. That's the purpose of these little devotionals, to show like how we would approach these verses.
Yep.
And I would usually read that and be like, I don't know where to start, you know? Let's start at the beginning.
Yep.
And then it gets into like, I feel like a lot more Old Testament type of language of like God destroying every dominion and rule and authority. That feels kind of like all the verses in Psalms that I skip after all the pretty ones, you know?
Yeah, which is good that you even say that, because did you recognize that he's quoting from Psalms here in verse 27?
Come on.
That's Psalm, I believe it's Psalm 2. Maybe I'll double check it. Psalm 2 is about God putting all things in subjection under his feet, which was a prophecy of the Messiah, the coming king. Mm-hmm. So the way that I like to picture the already not yet was given to me by a theology professor at university, a guy named Jim Edwards. He said, I think of the already not yet as like when the Allied troops stormed the beaches of Normandy.
Hmm.
The war effort, in some sense, was won by the Allies on D-Day.
Mm-hmm.
But the war wasn't actually over yet. They had to continue to fight. And there was going to be a lot more atrocities of the war that continued to happen.
Yeah.
But from that point, it was just an increasing victory that swept over Europe.
Yeah.
It's a good picture. Isn't that a good picture?
Yeah, I like that.
Obviously, it's an analogy, so it's not perfect.
For sure.
But I'm hearing that when I hear this, because it's kind of like warfare is happening in the spirit.
Yeah.
And God is subjecting all things under the authority of Jesus, who is the first fruits after the death, and the last of all authorities to be subjected to him will be death itself.
Come on.
And even the power of death, which is the most unbreakable power, will be broken.
Yeah.
Under the hand of Jesus Christ.
Which is, I think it makes sense that Adam is mentioned here, because it feels like it's, that would be the restoration to what God had intended in the very beginning, is for there'd be to no death and for us to be with him always.
Yeah.
And yeah. Even the, what Psalm says, his subjugation under his feet, is that maybe even language pulled from Genesis as well, where it's like, he'll stomp on the, the snake.
Genesis 3.
Yeah.
That's, you
know,
great.
Maybe. I don't know.
Sure.
There's a link in my head.
That's great. Oh, I've never thought about that connection. I love that. The snake crusher.
The snake crusher.
Whoa.
Jesus,
praise
the snake
God.
Crusher. Christ.
You're totally right. Clink to that.
Wow. All right.
All right. Well, Jesus is the snake crusher, and he will crush every snake. That's my takeaway from this.
And that's great news for Danica. Thank you for listening.
Yeah, so if there's any snake, if there's any evil authority that's got you down today, just remember that that will be crushed somewhere along this victory tour of Christ.
Yes. Come on.
Amen. Well, see you tomorrow, friends.
Adios. Bye.